sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, and back in the captain's chair is Becky Ivins. Hi, Becky. How are you doing this
morning? Good
morning,
Mark. I had a great little time off.
I am so glad you got a Saturday morning with your family and off, because that has been rare for you in the past 40 years, isn't it?
Yes. It's very rare because we do come live here,
right,
once or twice a year, depending on when Christmas falls and if I get laryngitis or something. You know, I do a recorded show, but we're live here on Saturday morning looking out from 50 Penn Place.
I love the view from here and the Saturday morning. It's become the Saturday morning. It's been really nice. But you've been doing this for 13 years on the radio?
I think 16.
16 years.
I'm pretty sure. Well,
we were on another
channel before we were on KTOK.
Oh.
There was no spot on KTOK. We practiced on I think it was KEBC, and then we moved over here, and been here ever since.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's been fun. And we love educating folks about real estate. And the one thing that we're going to do today, that everybody, if you're thinking of buying or you're thinking of selling, everybody needs to know this subject matter, and that is disclosures. People, as in buyers, say, well, they should have disclosed that. Well, they're not required to disclose everything. They're required to disclose what is on the OREC.
Right, which is on the OREC, the sheet that says, here's the items that need to be disclosed.
Right.
And, boy, this is one of those things that can get confusing, can get you in a lot of trouble if you don't do it correctly as the seller.
It's actually an appendix to the listing agreement.
Right. It is part of the contract.
Appendix A was part of the listing agreement, so that's good. And it is the residential property condition disclosure statement. Now, there is more than one disclosure statement. There is this one, and then there's the lead-based paint disclosure statement. And the lead-based paint asks a couple of simple questions. So we'll cover it first. It basically asks, are you aware of any lead-based paint in the property? And that's pretty easy. Either you're aware or you're not aware.
Right.
You can suspect, but you're not aware or whatever. And then the other thing that it asks is, do you have any reports to give to anyone? And that basically means, were you given any reports when you purchased the property that were performed by a previous owner? Or have you had it tested and have reports? And if you have those reports, it's your obligation to turn those over to the buyer. And then, so the seller answers two questions, basically. And then the buyer is given, any prospective buyer is given this report. And most all of them say, no, I'm not aware of lead-based paint. And no, I've not had it tested. Now, why would you not have it tested?
Well, the most common part of it is it's, you know, if it's built after a certain year or if it has.
And the date is 1978.
Yep.
Lead-based paint stopped being manufactured in 1970. And paint has, so they say, I don't know this for a fact, but so they say, so HUD determined, an 8-year shelf life.
Yeah.
So after 1978, someone should not have been able to purchase lead-based paint. So if your home was built January of 78 or after, then that lead-based paint disclosure does not apply.
Right, and it just has a check that you can check. It was built after 1978, and everyone goes, okay, we're all good, we move on.
Right. Well, and the lead-based paint form is actually not filled out. However, there is a check on the disclosure page, which is not the contract, but again, it is the front page of our contract form.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically says, you know, I've received a copy of the disclosures, or disclosures are not required. And that's actually for another show, because we've got a lot to cover just on our residential property condition disclosure statement. But there are certain reasons why you would not be required to fill one of those out. There are exemptions to that. One exemption is if you've never lived in the home as an adult, but you are the owner. Say you purchased a home for your parents, and your parents have maintained it all along. Well, you don't know a lot about what's been done and what hasn't been done. Now, there's a big discussion now. Boy, and I've got a strong opinion on it. We have folks out there flipping houses that say they're exempt from filling out a property condition disclosure statement. And that is just wrong. You have flipped a house. You have literally gone in and torn things out and replaced it. You know that house. So if you know the house and you know what's been done to it, or say a rental property. No, I've never lived in any of my rental properties. But when I sell them, I'm required to fill out a property disclosure on them, because I'm the one that's been paying for and maintaining and have the most intimate knowledge of the workings of that home, and whether it has an in-ground sprinkler system, whether the air conditioner is working, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So as an owner of investment property, you're still required to fill out a disclosure form.
Even if you have a property manager. I own a property that mm-hmm. I have a property manager for, because it's out of state
mm-hmm.
and it's an investment property. When I sell that, I'm going to be required to fill out a property, well, because it's in a state that requires that, and I'm going to be required to fill out that disclosure statement, because my property manager has provided me with receipts of things done to the property. So, anyway, that we're going to continue talking about this as to what you are required to fill out and what you're not required to fill out, and what's the realtor's job on this? Is it to be sure that you filled everything out? So we're going to do that. But first, if you have a question about our disclosures or mortgages or anything of the sort, do give us a call at 405-840-1000.
And we'll be back with more with Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We are talking about disclosures today and everything having to do with homes. And we have a caller on the line, Deidre from Norman. You're with us. Good morning, Deidre.
Good morning. I have many, many questions, but I'll try to make it short. we recently made an offer on an investment home for rental. And the owner did not have to disclose, because he was a landlord and had never lived in the home. Therefore, we had it inspected and decided not to purchase. But one of the things that came up was asbestos in the popcorn ceiling. I'd like to know in general a little bit about that. And is there a year that asbestos was no longer an issue? And how come we an inspection can't be transferred to the next potential buyer? That's my question.
Okay. Well, you've got a lot of questions, and those are very often asked questions, just so you know. I do not know the year that asbestos no longer was in a home. I will tell you that the homes built in the 40s and 50s, the pipe that goes from the furnace up through the roof was mostly, most of those were asbestos. It was before we had the double wall galvanized piping that exhausts the furnace. Now, they call that non-friable. And friable, if I'm saying the word right, that means that it is, it doesn't it's not prone to getting into the air. Because it's a solid pipe. So it's not like popcorn ceiling. So homes built in the 60s and into the 70s and 80s were the underground ductwork is transite, typically. Now, there's always can be exceptions to this, but typically that's transite, which is a combination of concrete and asbestos. Now, why would they do that? Because it gets hot, and it, you know, they don't want any problems. It maintains the heat inside the tube. So that's good. Or it doesn't let heat inside the tube so much. It's a little bit of an insulation thing. And those, again, are not friable because it's a solid thing. Now, popcorn ceiling. I know more about this from watching Property Brothers than I do from Oklahoma real estate, okay? Property Brothers goes in on HGTV and they renovate homes. And if it's got popcorn ceiling, they have to test it for asbestos. And most all of the popcorn ceiling contains asbestos. In Oklahoma, we do not have a requirement that that be removed. Now, okay. Other states, they do. Some states, they do. So it's not an issue here. Now, if you want to seal that sucker up, paint that ceiling, it's pretty hard. It seals it off pretty good, the popcorn ceiling. However, if you ever want to remove it, you are going to pray that you did not paint that ceiling because it seals it and sticks it to that ceiling in the sheetrock. So that's, you know, part of it. Now, do you have anything to add to that, Mark?
Well, I was looking at that it looks like it was outlawed asbestos used in popcorn ceilings in 1978 when they stopped manufacturing them. But they can, like the supply lines of it went into the 80s.
Well.
Which is where a lot of the popcorn in 1980s and.
The results of it are still lasting today.
It is, yeah.
They are alive and well with the nicotine stained glitter on the ceiling, you know.
And I have done both those things, scraped them off and I have
painted. We tried painting
I've
ours.
I've done both. Yeah.
And not the house we're in now, but two houses ago. And we tried painting it, and it just peeled off. Every time the roller went there, it just would peel off. So we ended up peeling it off, which was good.
Yeah.
And they started doing that, by the way, mostly because the craftsmanship of doing a very smooth no texture on the wall was difficult to get. A flat surface you couldn't see the seams, you couldn't see the nail holes where the sheetrock had been applied.
Yeah, and you can get those ceilings tested. If Deidre, if you're concerned about one that you're doing, you can you can scrape off a little bit and send it off to a testing lab that will send you the results.
I'll tell you a little bit of trivia here. In the 80s, early 80s, excuse me, in the early 80s, everything shut down here because of the oil bust. And my brother-in-law is an architect, and he was teaching a couple classes at OU, but basically nobody was building anything like office buildings and stuff. So they moved to Dallas area, and he goes down there, and then, of course, Dallas stops building too, and he was looking for a job. He got a job with the state school system to remove the asbestos from schools. And then this article comes out in Architecture Digest, or whatever the name of the big pretty magazine is, that names him as the leading expert on asbestos removal. And he just laughed. He goes, "Hey, I just needed a job." His opinion of that, by the way, is that he said, man, if they had spent half the money improving their education system rather than removing the asbestos, more kids would have survived, you know? Because he was just saying, what a waste to do all that, because it was very expensive. He did it for the state of Texas.
Wow. Deidre, you can go to either Lowe's or Home Depot or any of the big box stores like that, and they have an asbestos test kit and also a lead paint little kit. They're really inexpensive, and they have a where you scrape it off and send it in.
Mm-hmm. So that's easy to do. And then it's pretty easy to take a little chunk out of that out of that popcorn ceiling.
Yeah, it does that naturally.
Yeah, right. Now, you ask another question. How long is it before you can pass on an inspection to a future buyer? Right? Is that it or the disclosure?
Well, my question is, we decided not to buy the property, but we do have the inspection report. How come the realtor or can't pass that inspection report to the next potential buyer? How come
there's usually
a new one?
Okay. There's usually about a 4-page disclosure up front that you have to sign before you take an inspection. And you are stating that that inspection, you hired someone to provide you the inspection. That inspector is not liable to anyone except you. So if you start passing that inspection on, they've received one fee, and they're giving you an opinion, a snapshot in time opinion of what that house was like right then, that day of inspection. So 4 months later, things can change on a house, and that industry chooses not to be responsible to anyone except who hired them to do the inspection.
Okay. That explains that.
Yeah. I mean, and that's reasonable if you think about it. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your
call. That was great. Great questions there. But if the realtor on that kind of scenario, Becky, finds out something, there is something known as the realtor disclosure.
License
and we will talk about that when we come back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're here with Becky Ivins, and I'm Mark Carr, member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, and having a great discussion about disclosures and learning a lot, and it's time for our Word of the Day. Our Word of the Day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. You can give them a call at 728-3700. That's 728-3700. Now, Becky used a word that was new to me on this, which is friable. That is a new term. I was thinking like deep fry. I'm thinking French fries. Some nice...
You were hungry, did not have your breakfast,
right? I did
right?
not have my breakfast.
Well, friable in the... It really means anything that kind of crumbles easily.
Okay.
And when it crumbles easily, it gets into the air and can be breathed in. So, I mean, many things can be friable. It's actually a medical term.
Hmm.
Things that are crumbling and falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
We've spoken to my doctor recently about all this. So am I friable? Well, I do like French fries. But friable asbestos also means that one it contains any mass that contains or product contains more than 1% asbestos. It evidently is considered friable asbestos. But it's mainly falling apart. Like the ceiling can come down, or when you remove it, that ceiling, you probably should wear, I mean, I am not an expert on this, but I'm just saying, if I were doing it, I'd be wearing an N95 mask or a respirator.
because it is those friable material, the part that gets crumbled and gets into the air and then gets breathed in.
That's what is mesothelioma.
Yeah.
Is the lung cancer caused by all this. So, you know, and if you've watched TV at all and seen a commercial, there's a lawyer ready, waiting for you.
So. Well, our word of the day is friable, and that's brought to you by Robbins Roofing. If you want to find out more about Robbins Roofing, you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's favorites, and you'll see the whole list. And Larry Robbins and his team is right at the top.
There you go.
They're at the top. Now, we walk into a lot of houses where I kind of wonder what's in the air and what of those houses. I wouldn't say a lot, but there are some houses you walk into, and it's what is can be disclosed and not disclosed. Now, disclosed by the seller, if they've lived in the home, if they have knowledge of the home, they have their disclosures, but there's also a licensee disclosure.
Correct. Let's just say, here's an example. It's an extreme example, but this actually happened to me. This person was wanting us to list their house, and it had an old cistern under the garage, basically, where all the rainwater was collected in the gutter systems, and it went down and it collected under the house in a vat to be used for water, right? Well, the seller answered the question on the disclosure that says, and I think I know exactly where this is, are you aware of any underground storage tanks on the property? Now, to me, that would be an underground storage tank.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't think so because it's been abandoned. They don't use it anymore. So they didn't consider it a storage tank. Now, I thought if I were buying the house, I would want to know that's there.
Right.
So I did a licensee disclosure that said, seller mentioned that there's an old cistern tank somewhere around the garage area of the home. And I didn't know where it was particularly. They weren't real sure. But so that's an example of something to where I had actual knowledge because they told me what it was, and they answered. We disagreed on the disclosure. They have their disclosure. The seller does. The realtor has the realtor's disclosure. And not often do you fill out a licensee disclosure because typically the seller fills out everything and you don't have to do anything on it. You know, you just because you it's unusual to have actual knowledge of something that the seller does not put on a disclosure. But there is a form for that, and it's an important form for that. So, you know, it gets used occasionally.
Yeah. So oftentimes, or occasionally, there comes up where one buyer is looking at a house, an inspection occurs, something comes up that of knowledge that didn't know before.
Right.
And now that, so the buyer decides not to buy, like our Deidre in Norman. After that, then the seller or the realtor, the licensee, need to disclose if it is a disclosable item, correct?
Sure. Like, say, for instance, we'll just use an example. It is determined that an electric furnace is put in, a heater, you know, central heat unit, and that there is a gas pipe running to the property, but there's no gas service to the property. And they put on their disclosure, they checked, gas supply, none, not included. Well, there's a gas line running to the property, and a buyer would probably want to know that. Now, this has happened more than once to me, okay? So they go, well, no, that's my answer to that. Well, it is the seller's disclosure, so they get to answer it the way they are aware of.
Right.
I did a licensee disclosure stating that although the seller reports that they have no gas service, I'm told that there is a gas line running to the property. So buyers should check this out if they want to have gas service, you know. And on one of them, they'd been paying for gas service, the minimum bill all along, did not have one appliance or one fixture that was gas. And they'd been paying that minimum gas bill all along. So that was different. So,
what are the items on the disclosure list that surprise people that they need to disclose? What's the most common one that sellers are, or let's say sellers?
What gets the biggest giggle is usually the environmental things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I usually ask it. I said, well, are you aware of the presence of asbestos, radon gas, or lead-based paint? No, they're not. I said, well, have you tested for radon gas or lead-based paint? No. Okay, are you aware of a landfill on the property or the existence of hazardous or regulated materials that might have an environmental impact on the property? Well, no, they're not aware. Okay, are you aware of the existence of prior manufacturing of methamphetamines? And everyone goes, what? Well, are you cooking meth? Have you ever cooked meth? Did your previous owners of the property cook meth? Well, I don't know. Well, are you aware that they cooked meth? Well, no. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then your answer might be no to that. And I never tell them. You'll know. You'll notice I always use qualifiers because I don't tell them how to fill this out. It's theirs to fill out. But, well, your answer to that is likely no.
Right.
And then, you know, they think, and I've sold houses where meth's been cooked. And in fact, I think I sold the first one in the metro. And the little guy that bought it was a prior customer. His whole family was, three generations. And he brought me latex gloves, a mask, and said, don't touch anything. They've cooked meth in here. And I'm going, what? Why are you in here? And he said, well, there's a note on there that the health department has certified that it's been cleaned up. Okay. So I learned a lot about meth from that. But that's just one of the things that has to be disclosed.
Yeah.
And then have you ever had the property inspected for mold or ever had remedial treatment for mold? And then are you aware of any condition on the property that would impair the health or safety of the occupants? Well, I've never had anybody answer yes to that. They don't want to confess that they would let their family live there if they were aware of health and safety concerns.
Right. They look at that and go, well, that is why we're selling. But this is the part of that kind of tries to answer the question. Every buyer goes in and tries to figure out why are they selling.
Right. Well, I have an answer for that. Every time it's the same answer. You know, they've lived here for years, but it no longer meets their needs. Now, most of the time I say they've loved the home for years, but it no longer meets their needs. Every now and then, the people never liked their home so much, so they've lived in their home for years, but it no longer meets their needs. And that's as much as I can disclose because I owe confidentiality to my client.
Right, right.
So
every time when I'm walking in with buyers, that there's always a little bit of Sherlock Holmes in every person, where they're trying to figure out, is this person moving out of state? Is this person, you know, what's, and they kind of see the disclosures
mm-hmm.
as part of that. And it's a fun part of what we do because you kind of get into how people think within it. But in this, we require as realtors to be fair to everyone within this, to hold, you know, I don't speculate on that.
No, you can't. And
no.
I'll tell you one thing that most folks are unaware of. Did you know that your house is in a floodplain?
That your house is in a floodplain?
And we're going to...
Oh, my goodness. All right. So we will talk about that, and you can find out if you need flood insurance, evidently, when we come back with Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We are talking about disclosures today, and it's time for our smoking hot deal.
Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord.
Our Smoking Hot Deal is brought to you by Casa Perico, located on the corner of 122nd Penn and 63rd, just west of Meridian. Go visit Casa Perico and get you some fresh Mexican food on this rainy, going to be a windy day this afternoon. I was hoping to ride my bike today, Becky. It was going to be like 63 degrees, but gusts are going to be up to 50 miles per hour.
Let's hope this afternoon. Let's hope you, since you're not an airplane, let's hope you get a tailwind on that.
Yeah, it's kind of like the old adage of going downhill is great, but for every downhill, there's an uphill.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so no riding my bike around Draper Lake today. That's one of my favorite ones is Draper. It's great.
Yeah.
Bike trail down there. So Smoking Hot Deal, let me tell you, listener, you can have the Smoking Hot Deal. If you are thinking about selling, now is the time. You can call us at 722-3232, 722-3232. Becky, on Friday, there was an article in Oklahoman talking about the low inventory of homes, which has been kind of the theme through the year, has been the low inventory. And in Oklahoma, we are sitting at about a month worth of inventory, which means if no houses go on the market, we would sell out of houses in a month.
Now, typically, in a good market, you have about 4 months worth of inventory. So if no new properties go on the market, mm-hmm. it would take 4 months to sell everything that's there. 1 month is unheard of. I have never seen anything like this. So, and I've also never seen property prices kind of inflated like they are right now. There's no reason except for lack of inventory that properties are selling for as much as they are. So I've got a suggestion for you. If you're an investor and you have rental properties and you're kind of thinking about liquidating those at some point in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, give us a call, because I don't think you will ever get more money than right now. That's why I am prepping 3 properties to go on the market, because I don't think I'll ever get this much money again.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lack of inventory, particularly in the 100 to 150,000 market, and that's where, you know, 75 to about 150 most rentals mm-hmm. fall within that. And we could get you top dollar and usually negotiate something for you that to where you can sell it as is. I don't usually suggest that we market it as an as-is property, because most, what do you think when you hear they're selling this as is?
There's a problem with it.
There's something wrong. Well, we can usually not market it as is, but we can negotiate an as-is deal for you. And still get you the money you want. So if you want to be the Smoking Hot Deal,
you can give us a call at 722-3232 or go on BeckyIvins.com. And there's a form right on the front there that you can say, sell my house, and fill it out, and we'll contact you. And we'll make it really easy. It's a good time.
And usually you don't know whether you want to sell the house until you know sort of what the value is.
Yeah.
And I do this a lot. You just fill out the thing that says, want to know your home's value. Mm-hmm. Give me the address, a good email address, and then you can write a little something, a note to me or something. And I'm the one that takes care of this typically. So you just set, give me your address, 123 Easy Street. And then what you do is say, I prefer just to have an email value on the home. Say you don't want to be contacted or something. Well, I will email you the activity in your particular neighborhood that matches your particular home. Now, I will not have gone to see the home. So if you've got a rec room built on the back of it, or maybe you own 3 lots, but they're abstracted separately and have different tax ID numbers, I'm not going to know that, because you need to give me all the information. So a good phone number is good to have. We work with a lot of people to just help them decide they don't want to sell their property. And that's okay with me. Eventually, you're going to tell someone who is looking to buy or looking to sell, man, you need to call that Becky Ivins gal, because she's not going to pester you. What she's going to do is provide you with solid information.
Yeah, what you say all the time, Becky, is our role is to give them the facts so they remain in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
It's your choice. Our role is to give you the facts so you can make the right decision for you and your family and your investments. And so that's what we do and what we enjoy doing.
So give us a call, 722-3232, or just go to BeckyIvins.com and click on there, send us a message.
So, Becky, on the disclosures, on as we kind of close up shop here on this, what else is really critical for buyers and sellers to know about the disclosures?
There's something that, well, first of all, I kind of teased you guys about the flood zone and your house. By the way, if you're listening to this radio show, your house is in a flood zone. Most people write on there, not in a flood zone. The example we've got right here says not in a flood zone. Well, every house is in a flood zone. Flood zone X is a non-flood prone area. So, and everything has a label. A is pretty good flood zone. You don't want to build there. B, not maybe every, what is it, 500 years or something like that. And anyway, a 100-year flood is A, and then 500, I think, is B. They're expecting a flood in that, you know, every 500 years or
yeah.
so. But X is a non-flood-prone area. So I just think that's something most people don't know. Most realtors don't know that. They just go, well, no, that, my house isn't in a flood zone. Well, yes, it is. It's probably in flood zone X. So,
yeah, and that's where on the disclosures, you know, that I bought a house one time that had a creek in the back of it, asked three different ways, hey, did that creek ever flood? Oh, no, never floods. It was on disclosure. And about 3 years in to the property, all of a sudden it started flooding. Well, it didn't used to flood, but they had done construction, and so there was more runoff.
Uh-huh.
The water runoff changed. But because it wasn't in one of the high-level flood zones, I had flood insurance that was really inexpensive.
Well, if it's in one of the high-rated flood zones, you qualify for FEMA insurance, mm-hmm. the nationally endorsed or kind of subsidized flood insurance. Now, if you're in flood zone X, you're not going to get cheap insurance.
Yeah.
You're going to get insurance, but you're going to have to pay a retail price for it because it's not a flood zone. It's not a flood-prone area that FEMA is going to subsidize. What must you disclose? The first page of our disclosure, the first question almost always is not answered, and it says seller is or is not occupying the subject property. Hardly anybody sees that because it's kind of a separated thing. Some of the disclosures don't have a property address on them. Someone just neglects to put the property address. Don't sign one of those. Make somebody put the property address on there for you. And then you just different things. Do you know whether your water heater is gas or electric or solar or geothermal? So it asks what the components are in the home, whether they're in working order, they're not in working order, or you don't know whether they're working order, or if it's not included in the property, such as a swimming pool. Most properties do not have a swimming pool, so that's not included in the property. And then you're asked a series of questions about zoning. Well, actually, two questions about zoning. You know, is it residential or in a historical preservation district, something like that. And then there's several questions about flood and water. You know, as the water, it just asks about different scenarios of water entering the property, and then any alterations or repairs. Be careful about answering each of these questions. How old is the roof? How many layers are on the roof? We don't have to deal too much with layers on a roof anymore. Used to, people would put three
I'm
or four layers
that.
Of shingles
yeah.
on there. And then the environmental questions that we asked earlier, and then shared and common easements and homeowners associations, because you need to know if you're buying a homeowners association.
Right. And like one of the most common ones on there is the fencing around a property shared with the neighbor? Is that a shared cost?
Most often it's shared.
And most often it is.
Most often people don't know who owns it either.
Well, this has been a great about disclosures. Hopefully it's been helpful to you. Becky, welcome back. Thank you.
Thank you. Tune in next week.
for we're more.
Good. Yeah.
On Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.
There you go.
We'll do it together. News Radio 1000 KTOK.
News Radio 1000 KTOK AM and KXXY FM 96.1 HD2, Oklahoma City.